Good morning. Good morning. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Always. Oh, I love it. Always. Amen. It's always good to gather together. Oh, and just let the Spirit of God do and move and do what He wants to do, the third person of the Godhead. Amen. Let's take our Bibles. Amen. Make our declaration before Him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 21, page 1688. Verse 22. Oh, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I tell you, we've been having some beautiful days, huh? Beautiful days. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I went to bury something yesterday, couldn't get the shovel down. I mean, it was like cement almost. And I thought, Lord, not but more than a month or two ago, it rained every day, 2-3 times a day. We had so much water everywhere. I said, Lord, thank God you are in charge. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Matthew chapter 21, starting with verse 22, it says, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer believing, you shall receive. Mm. Let me read it again. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer believing, you shall receive. Probably as I look out here, I'm pretty certain that everyone has given their hearts and lives to the Lord. And I know probably each and every one of us can remember the day that we were saved. You know, you probably remember where you were when you got saved. Could be in church, could be at your home, could be at somebody's home, or could be at a friend's house, could be in your car, whatever, you're hearing something, could be whatever, you know, no telling where, on a job or something. But remembering, we know that time, we know that day, it has been etched upon our minds and our hearts because it was such a monumental day because it changed every aspect of our lives. We were once headed towards hell, and God diverted it through the blood of Jesus and us accepting Christ, that now we're on our way to heaven one day to be with our God, to be with our Lord, to be with our Savior till the end of time, which will never end, for eternity. And that's, I know eternity is a hard thing for us to understand because everything in life that we know of has a beginning and has an end. But can you imagine, just because we said a simple prayer and we believed it with our whole heart, that Christ, our God, came in and lives in us, a physical being. And we, you know, we probably said some words like this. We probably started with dear God, I come to you, which we are believing that He is there. Because we're saying, God, we're coming to you. We ask you for forgiveness of our sins. We believe because we're calling upon Him and asking Him to forgive us of our sins. We know we need a Savior. Also in that prayer we said, probably, I believe that you died on the cross. You believe that He died upon the cross. Also we probably said, I believe that you rose from the grave. Believing in Him. Also, we probably said, I believe that Jesus is seated on the right hand of God. Hallelujah. And we accept you as my God. Something that we said in that prayer, whatever it was, there's no designated prayer. is just accepting him as Christ and Lord, accepting what he did at Calvary's cross, knowing that we have sinned against him and he has forgiven us, but we believe with everything within us that he is there and that he lives in us and that he has forgiven us of all of our sins. We were on the auction block of sin, people. We were there. And without Christ, we were damned to hell for eternity. But we were on that auction block of sin, going to the highest bidder. And the highest bidder walked in, carrying or having his blood in with him and saying, I will take him. I will take her. Because people, we were messed up. And we needed a Savior. We needed a God. You might say, well, I was a good person. Our goodness, as the Word says, is like filthy rags unto him. It does not pour up with him. But because of who he is, and because we believed in our heart that he would come into our lives and changed us, he cleansed us of all of our sins, and makes us into a new creation in him. My God. And sets us on a new path, all because we believed what he said in his word. All because we believe what he said he would do. All because we believe that he is a mighty God. All because we believe in what he said he would do. My God. My God, what God can do in us. And now we see a great move of the Spirit of God upon each and every one of us as we've called out to him on many occasions because we needed some help. And because we knew that God was the only one that could solve the problem, because all things are possible to them that believe. My God, how it makes you want to shout. You see, we don't serve no little God. We serve a God that has paid the price for us, that has given everything for us. Can you imagine a God that gave everything for you and I, even though we were dead in our trespasses and sins, and looked and said, I can do it? His love for us, my God, that we can walk in freedom and liberty because of what Jesus did at Calvary's cross, and because we believed what he said he would do in praying to him and accepting him as our Lord and our Savior. Matthew 21:22. In all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer believing, you shall receive. All things according to his will. We gotta believe. What God said in his word, he will do. If we believe him according to his will, if it's for you and I. You see, God is saying, hey, I'm a man of my word. We know he is. We know that anybody that will back out will be humanity. But God will never back up or back out of a deal with his people. He said he was going to send the Savior, God, and he sure did. He said he was going to send the Holy Spirit, and he did. My God, we can trust in him no matter what, as we believe in him and believe what God can do. All things are possible according to his will. All things are possible according to his will. And you might say, well, why do you keep always saying according to his will? Because we have to go according to his will. It's not Joe's will and it's not your will. But it's the will of the Father upon the earth for you and I to have what he wants us to have. And to do the calling and have the calling that he wants us to have upon our hearts and upon our lives. Thank God for his love towards us. We know the famous scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not what perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Because we believe in him. My Lord. All things are possible. That means as a pastor, I got to go to him and I got to say, now, Lord, what do you want for my life? Personally, not for a pastor, for my life. And then I got to follow that will according to his word. And then I have to also pray, Lord, what do you have for my life as a pastor? The calling you have placed upon my life. What do you want? How do you want me to, what you want me to do? What do you want for tomorrow? What do you want for next year, Lord? See, we have to follow the Spirit of Almighty God. The Spirit that lives on the inside of you, the Spirit that dwells in you, wants to lead and guide and help. He is the comforter that comforts his people. He just doesn't leave us out there and say, hey, do the best you can. Come on. Do the best we can.
Thank God.
We'd be up the creek with no paddle.
Yeah.
Probably drowning because we just can't do it. We need God. We need him. And he's saying, believe me. You know, we have to find out what God wants us to believe in. You know, we know there's, we know God wants our families saved. We know there's certain, but there are certain things that God may put upon your heart, and you'll find it out as you pray and seek God. And when he tells you that, whatever it is, according to his word, make sure it lines up, that it shall be done as we believe in him, and the power of the Holy Spirit does it. Amen. It's good preaching. I think, anyway. Believing what God has put upon our hearts, believing what God has put upon our lives and shown us. We believe those things because he's shown us. And when we believe those things, it shall be done no matter what. No matter what comes our way, no matter what evil comes our way, when God speaks it, it shall be done. You know, he spoke everything into being at the beginning of time.
Amen.
Our beginning. Things were here before that. Our beginning. He spoke the world into being. He spoke the planets into being. He spoke the sun, the moon, the stars into being. He spoke the shrubbery into being. The trees. All those things were spoken by God. He didn't speak humanity into being. He formed Adam. Ooh, something totally different. By his hands. Can you imagine? The hands of God. We come from the dirt, people. I know we try to wash and keep. That's good. But we come from the dirt. He took the dirt of the ground, which was perfect at that time. Perfect. Sin hadn't entered the earth at all. Well, as far as that time, he took it and he formed Adam with his hands. That's what God is doing in our hearts and in our lives, forming us with his hands. So gentle, so kind, so loving, so consoling, so faithful unto us. Then as Adam was formed, he breathed into him the breath of life. Some scholars believe when they talk about breathing the breath of life into that in Adam, what he breathed was blood into that body. Because what does it say in Scripture? Life is in what? The blood. Interesting. Interesting. He breathed, and not into the mouth, but into the nostrils of Adam. And let's say that that happened. I believe it.
Yes.
The breath of life came in. That blood came in. Boom. My Lord. Then he took the side, the rib part of Adam, and formed the woman. He didn't speak it, but he formed her. and gave her life. That's how precious we are to him. Precious in the hands of God. Letting God move and mold and make us into what he needs us to be. What he needs us to be. In all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Believe God for what he's put upon your heart. The Lord can only accept that which he brings forth. You might say, Pastor, what do you mean? God will only accept what he brings forth. That's just like Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel. Remember that? Abel was the one that offered the sacrifice of the lamb. Remember? On the altar. The blood. Because that represented what? Jesus Christ dying for us. What did Cain offer up? Fruits. Vegetables. Which was what he grew. And there was nothing wrong with that, him growing that. But it did not represent the cross of Calvary. And what did, and he gave his best. But it has to be along the line of the blood of Jesus. You see, that's why, and it didn't have the blood. He had to go and get a spotless lamb. And he said, I have a better idea. We've all been there. We've all said that to God, maybe by our actions. Lord, I have a better idea. That won't work. Let me do it this way. And God said, oh, no. You got to do it my way. Amen. You see, we got to follow what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. We got to follow what the Spirit of God is saying to the body of believers. No matter what the world is saying, we got to follow the Scriptures no matter what. And we know God did not accept Cain's offering. I mean, Abel had nothing to do with it. Abel was just following what God wanted and did it. You see, obedience brings the blessings and the power of God. But Cain thought he had a better idea and he could do it better. And he gave of his best, but it had no blood. And it wasn't perfect before God, and God rejects it. You see, we think, well, you know, if I do this, well, God will accept it. Look, do your best for God. Don't give God the leftover stuff. You might say, well, just give him the best. You know, you might not be able to spend an hour or two in prayer or reading of the, but give him your best. It might be 10 minutes, 15 minutes a day to pray and to seek God's face, but do your best with him. Because he gave his best, God, his son, for us today. And so we should give him our best. John chapter 11, look at verse 38, starting with verse 38. Page 1872. Believe God. Believe God. Believe God. God. The devil will try to get you off track. He will try to tell you God can't do it. But if God has spoken it to you, you've read it in his word, and he said he would do it, he will do it. We got to believe him, because he is the mighty God. All powerful, as we learned last week. All powerful is he. Praise God. Look at verse 38. Starting there, it says, and Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, came to the grave. It was a cave and a stone laid upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinks. It's talking about Lazarus. And he has been dead 4 days. Dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto you that if you would believe, see, you should see the glory of God. Now I want to read the comment right here on verse 40. It says, corruption, whether physical or moral, is no obstacle to him who is the resurrection and the life. No obstacle. We might say, well, you know, well, we can't do this. No. When God speaks it forth, it's done. You know, we know stories about Joshua when he said he told the sun to stand still. We know now that the sun doesn't rotate around the earth. You know, the earth rotates around the big sun. We have many suns. I mean, all the stars, that's suns. But we have the major one. But when Joshua said, stop the sun from going down in Gibeon, God knew what he was talking about. That's the kind of God we serve. An impossible God that can do the impossible at all times. We serve a God that is not limited by what the earth is limited by at all. We can believe him for the supernatural at all times if it's according to his will for your life and what he's spoken unto you for. My God. Just as Jonah, I mean, come on, in a whale? My God. Or I say a whale, a fish, a big fish. Swallowed up. It's not what? No, well, we don't know for sure. It's just a big fish. My God. But to be alive still, that's God. A donkey speaking, my God, from Balaam, that's God. Unto the prophet. And even God opening the Red Sea, my Lord. Look at verse 41. And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you hear me always, my Lord. That's confidence. He knew it. And look, he hears us always too. We are children of the living God. When we call upon him, as the word says, call upon me and I will answer you. We have confidence in our God always. But because of the people which stand by, I say it, that they may believe that you have sent me. And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave cloths, and his face was bound about with a napkin, and said unto him, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Here we go back to 40. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto you that if you would believe, you shall see the glory of God. People, God, we're living in a time, people, where evil is rising. But I tell you what, don't worry about that stuff. I'm telling you, the devil will try to have you sidetracked. Okay, we believe in the glory of our Father. We believe what God can do. The God that we serve shall pour out his spirit, it says, in the last days. We shall see God move like we've never seen him move before. Keep your eyes upon God, just as Peter should have kept his eyes upon Jesus and not the waves that are rising up. Because when you get your eyes on the waves, you get your eyes on things that don't pertain to what God has for you to do. Keep your eyes upon Christ. Keep your eyes upon Christ. And don't worry about the world and what's going on. Let me tell you this. God can supply no matter what the world is going through. Amen. My God. He supplied for the children of Israel as they were 40 years in the desert because of their stiff-neckedness, because their stubbornness. But God still supplied and killed off a generation till that other generation came forth. Their sandals didn't wear out. God fed them with meat and heavenly bread by the power of Almighty God. And look at Lazarus. Look what happened to him. He said, Martha, just believe. What God is working in your heart and in your life, believe that he will do it. Don't worry about what's going on. Just stay firm in your belief. And if God wants to change what you believe in, the Spirit of God will show you. That's the kind of God we serve that will tune us up and get us in the right place to get the job done. My God. And here we see, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And his sister said, hey, don't do it. He's been dead 4 days. He stinks. She didn't realize she was serving the God that can make anything that smells bad smell good. Amen. That's the kind of God we serve that can take a sinful life of evil towards him and turn it around and make a preacher and someone that will speak the word of God to the people. Amen. That's the kind of God we serve that can change a life around. He's mighty. There's no limits on our God. We limit Him in what He could do because He will not override our will. But I tell you what we got to do is lay down our lives before Him and saying, Lord, whatever Your will be done. Lord, Your will be done. Help me to believe the impossible, Lord. Help me to believe what You have for me today. Help me to believe those things that You have placed upon my heart and upon my life. And show me the Scriptures. My God, there's nothing too difficult that God can't do. God has brought back men and women that have separated, divorced, brought them back. My God. God has brought back wayward children that have gone astray and said they wouldn't serve God, but yet they come knocking on your door. They come repenting and saying, I can't live this way anymore. My God, what a God we serve. Because that's the power of Almighty God. Men and women strung out on drugs and evil. My God, coming back to the power of Almighty God. Saying, I need God again. I need God again. I need God again. That's the power of Almighty God. Don't limit your God in your finances. Don't limit your God in what He can do. My God. My God. Let God do what He needs to do. Believe Him. Believe Him. Look at this. And God came in. And when that man walked out, he was full of grave cloth and all that stuff. But I tell you what, that's okay. His sisters were happy. He was happy. My God, what God can do. He can bring somebody that's dead back to life. My God. No other God can do that. Little g. No other, but the God you and I serve can bring back a man that has been dead for 4 days because they believed that He could do it. And they even said, Lord, help our unbelief. You know, because God can move upon a situation, people. Don't limit Him in what He can do. If God wants you to have a certain house, well, He'll show you and you believe about it. Okay? If He wants you to have a certain car, you believe that for Him. If He wants you to believe certain things for your children, start believing and saying, Lord, supply it. Lord, do it. The best thing you can do is pray for your children and pray that they would have a heart for God. They can have millions of dollars and they can live in the biggest house in all the world and drive the best cars and trucks, whatever. But I tell you what, if they don't have a heart for God, where will they end up? Now, there's nothing wrong with all those things. But our treasure should not be upon the earth. It says, lay up treasures in the heavenlies by what we do, what we give, what we say. Our actions, people. My Lord. That's what God is looking at. Pray for your children that they will have a heart. And your grandchildren too. And your grandchildren. Oh, God took all those grave cloths. Believe. Believe is to place one's trust in God's truth. Believe. To place one's trust in God's truth. A person who believes is one who takes God at His word and trusts in Him. My Lord. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 15, please. He's a God we can believe in. He's a God we can believe in. I know the enemy, page 28, not 4. He's a God you can believe. He's a God you can trust, people. I remember one time, many years ago, had no money. You know, you work and you just got bills and you got this to pay and that to pay. And it seems like it goes out more than it comes in. You know. And I said, oh, God, went to church. I think I was like 18, 19 years of age. Tithe, though, might have been $5, but it went in that offering. Might have been $2.50. You know, $2.50 back then was pretty good. $5 was better, but $100 would have been better. But back then, it was a lot of money. You know, you can buy a lot more. Gave my last and had no money for gas. And how do you get to work when you know you that line of E is right there? You say, Lord, I trust you. I don't know. And I remember after church, we're all in the hallway talking and whatever else. And somebody said, what's that scripture that the pastor talked about? I said, oh, well, let me get my Bible. I just went. It was, I think, on the floor or, you know, just somewhere. And I picked it up. And when I opened it, a $20 bill fell out. Now, $20, let's say 30 years ago, was a lot of money. Huh? It shocked me. You know, you're praying for something, and then when it happens, you're shocked. You know, you just don't know. You know, you just, and all of a sudden, I said, who's that for? You know, you just kind of, you don't want to hurry up and take it because you know you didn't have no money in there, you know. You don't want to steal anything. And somebody said, I think it just fell out your Bible. And I said, I know it did. Picked it up and saw the hand of God. Saw the hand of God. I went to Bible school, and it cost a lot of money back then, $1,500, $1,600 a semester. Went for like 2 or 3 semesters, Bible school in Baton Rouge. Had no debt. When I started working, I knew, and we didn't have a lot of money, huh? I mean, look, talk about scraping the barrel. We scraped the barrel. But that was okay. God is faithful. Amen. Zero. I mean, you know, but God came in and supplied. No debt. God is good, people. Amen. See, we got to trust what His Word says. The enemy will speak and say, don't give this and don't do that. But what does the Word say? All-powerful God is He. Abraham, let's read about Abraham as he believed. Look at verse 3. And Abram said, behold, to me you have given no seed. Talking about no son. And lo, one born in my house is my heir. And he was talking about his helper or his slave, which was Eliezer, in his house. He had no sons. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, now you see, that's what we need. We need a word of the Lord. See, the church is lacking. The body of Christ is lacking because there's no word of the Lord. You lucky, and I'm telling you this, you lucky if you get to church and you have a Bible and you have a scripture from the pulpit. It's a shame, people. It's a shame. It's a shame. You know? And I'm not in authority, but I'll tell you what, somebody tells me something, we'll talk. That you won't even have a scripture come forth from the pulpit? The word of Almighty God, where it should be expressed fully to the best of the ability of that person? Given out to the people? A word from God. A word from God. This man was in despair. Abram, that before God changed, Abram and Sarai. Then we know God changes it, but it was weighing upon his heart. And he just said, Lord, I have no son. It was something that, and he was a very rich man, him and Sarai. Rich. But he was saying, I have no son, Lord. Something that it was in his heart. It bothered him. And the word of the Lord, because he said, I'm just have to leave it all to my servant, Eliezer. And God came in and said, oh, no, you don't. I have a plan. This is what, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, this shall not be your heir, Eliezer, but he who shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir. And I said this before, the Lord can only accept that which he brings forth. The church has tried to birth many things. And buddy, the church has gone in circles. I mean, it's sad. The Bible says the preaching of the gospel will bring people to repentance. The preaching of the gospel. The scripture says go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I know you can use certain little things, skits and all that. But it talks about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And letting God do a mighty work. And listen. And he, verse 5, the Lord brought him, Abraham, forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven. What he did was he got Abraham's eyes off of Eliezer, which there was nothing wrong with him. He was a faithful servant. But it bothered Abraham that everything he had would be given to his servant. He did not have a son of his own. And God, the word of the Lord came to him. And that's what we need, a word from the Lord to show us what to do. We all have difficult problems. We all have difficult things we go through. We need a word from God. We need not a word from Joe Blow down the road. We need a word from Almighty God that we know it is him that has spoken to us. It is him that has brought it forth unto us. And he said, Abram, look, come see. And Abram said, oh, okay, Lord. He said, look up. You see the stars? And I mean, I'm sure it was a clear day, not a cloud in the sky. Because God will get his point across. Your descendants will be like the stars of the heavens. It did something in him. Believe. Look at this. Said, look, verse 5, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars. That means count the stars, okay? If you are able to number them, and he, the Lord, said unto him, Abram, so shall your seed be. He was worried about one son, and God said, you're going to have many sons, many daughters, because they're going to be like the stars of the heavens. We are a product of Abram or Abraham now. We are a part of that. He couldn't see in 2022 what God would do. But because of the saving power of Almighty God through that one son, and we know Abram and Sarai made a mistake, huh? God gave him a promise, and they thought they could handle it. Let me tell you, you and I got to be careful about those things. When God speaks, let him bring it about in your lifetime, whatever it is, unless it goes beyond that, whatever. But let him bring it about in his timing. You and I do our part. We pray, we seek the Lord, and we let the Spirit of God lead us. We pray, we seek God, and we let the Spirit of God lead us in the right direction. We pray, we seek God, and let God lead us. We pray, we seek God, and we let God lead us. We can't pray and seek God and do what we want to do. It won't happen. It will not bring about the fruit of what God wants in our hearts and in our lives. We pray, we seek God, and we let God do the rest. Now, that doesn't mean God will lead us to do certain things, because that's our God. But we do it according to his plan, at the right timing, at the right place, at the right time. And when we do that, we are rest assured success in all the things that God wants to do in our hearts and in our lives. Because God has called each and every one of us to do something in the kingdom of God. There are no bystanders. You might say, well, what about prayer? It doesn't matter, whatever God wants. God calls, he anoints, he appoints. It's up to him. But we got to obey the Spirit of God. And when we do that, the anointing of the Spirit of God moves upon a certain place, moves upon a certain family, moves upon a certain individual. And that, in whatever God wants to accomplish, it shall be done according to his will, because he is our God, our Lord, and our Savior. And he does things according to his plan and not according to Joseph's plan or your plan. We have to let him do, but we got to follow the Spirit of the Lord. You see, it says, my people are led by my Spirit. Talk about the Holy Spirit, okay? Not your spirit. The Spirit of God that dwells on the inside of you. Ooh. You might say, well, Pastor, sometimes I just don't know what to do. Your mind says this, your heart says this, your spouse says this, your children say this. What you do is you get with God. And I know, and the enemy says this. So all kinds of stuff. So what you do is you take time. So you don't act yet. You just wait. Okay? You never make a decision when you're too high, or you never make a decision when you're too low. Never. Because it will be the wrong decision. I'm telling you. Somebody that's in the Molly Grubs and they make a decision, oh my God. Someone that's flying high too much, oh my Lord, get level. But when that time comes, you get with God. And that doesn't mean just one time. It could be one time, but it may be many times. You just sit down, or you get in your lazy boy, or you get wherever you want to get, I don't know. You can either kneel down, you can lay on the floor, you can sing, whatever you want to do, and you just say, Lord, I don't know what to do, but I know you're going to lead me, and I give it to you. And you might have to go the next day and do it again. And that's okay, because we want what God wants, huh? I know every one of you, even including my, we want what God wants, not what we want. If we wanted what we want, there's a few people that wouldn't be on the earth today. Huh? So we don't do that. We love. We might not like what they do or what they say or even what they preach. But we pray for them. And God may open that door to hopefully share with them the knowledge that God has given to you. And you know, you're thinking, Lord, I'm not special, or you know, but God knows what needs to happen. And so the answer doesn't come again. You just go along and you go the next day and you get with God again. The next day it doesn't come and you whatever, you go with God again. Look, we got to be a tenacious people. We got to seek the Lord. Seek me and you shall what? What it says? Me. Seek the Lord and you shall find me. We gotta believe when we get with our God, he's listening to us. Look, when you get with God, you are the most important person to him. We are the most important. Everybody's the most important person to him. But when you sit down or you whatever and you praying, look, that gets the attention of your God. You serve the mighty God that created everything in the world, that loves you unconditionally. May not like everything we do, but that's why he's working on. So we believe when we get with him that he will answer us. And one day, when you get in that room, he's an answer. Or one day, when you're walking through the store, something will happen and it will be answered what you've been praying about. Or so one day, as you're driving in that car or that truck, that God will answer you through a song, through his word, through whatever. Or just through another person that's just talking to you and doesn't know anything about it. Amen. That's the kind of God we serve. Abraham, he made a mistake, him and his wife. And we're paying the results for it today. Who in here, please don't raise your hand, has not made a mistake of some kind? Everybody raise your hands, your feet, everything else. Might as well all just stand, huh? But I tell you what, God can take a wrong and he can make it right. That's the kind of God we serve. He can make a wrong, he can make something that's wrong and make it right. As we believe him, God will answer. God, and you will know without a shadow of a doubt, because I know things are out there that just bombards our minds, bombards sometimes our spirits. But God will answer. Call upon me and I will answer you. Believe God. Believe him for the impossible. Believe him for the impossible. Believe him for the impossible. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. We're almost to closing. I know y'all getting hungry, just like me. You know what I'm going to eat today? Now, you're probably going to say, oh, my God. No, you might love it. I'm going to eat peanut butter and syrup with bananas sandwich. Oh, my God. Oh, I hadn't thought about crook. You know, I try to stay away from all that, you know, sugar and all this stuff. You're trying to, and on Sundays, I can splurge. And I'll probably even go get a piece of cake out of the freezer somehow. Do something, because I know Monday's coming around. So, but I just can't wait to get home. Just to eat that. My Lord. Second Chronicles, look at this. The first part, it says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Let me read it again. Now, just the first part. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. You might say perfect. I know none of us are perfect. But with God, when we repent and ask God, we're perfect before him, people. He calls us holy. His eyes are looking to and fro for any person that wants to obey him. Amen. He's looking upon the whole earth. He's looking for hearts that have faith to believe what he wants to do. He's looking for people that will do what he calls them to do. Abraham and Sarah, that was hard. I mean, they had a baby once. She was 90, and he was 100. Talk about impossibilities. All things are possible. All things are possible. Who wants to have a baby at 90? Those days are long gone. I don't want to get up to a crying baby. I don't want to. I want to sleep. We love children. But I mean, God kept his promise even to show us how faithful he is, people. What God has spoken to you, remember, just believe. Believe, believe. And he will make it happen according to his way, his word, and how he wants to do it. We cannot be manipulators. There's a lot of that in the kingdom of God, manipulating. Gotta be, that's witchcraft, people. That's witchcraft. Cannot allow that to happen. We let God do what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. I want to read something to you. If you get your bulletin, please. I want you to go down to where it says prophecy from Sunday, October the 2nd. We had this prophecy come out last Sunday, and I don't want us to forget it. Okay, God just doesn't speak just to speak, and then we go home and we forget it and all that stuff and stuff. So it says this, my spirit is moving. Isn't that a faithful, oh, thank you. My spirit is moving, says the Lord. I'm going to and fro looking for people who will trust and believe in me. Now let's stop right there. His eyes are looking towards us. Will we trust him? Will we believe? You know, I had people tell me that there's no way you could start a church in Gaydon and it would prosper. I had pastors tell me this. I had people tell me all kinds of stuff. That there was no way that a church there could support a pastor, could support the things of God. There's no way. Well, thank God I wasn't like I am today. I might have, you know, told him something, him or her. But you just let those things be bygone. Because you see, you never know what does God want and what will happen. They told me there's no way people would travel from Kaplan or anywhere else to come to Gaydon. They told all kinds of stuff, and I said, okay. And like I told you, I remember one Sunday closing that front door to this little building, and we had one person besides our family, boys, and one. Just kept on going. Now, we had a few that came in through the back door. That's how we had it set up. But you still go on, and no matter what, you still trust the Lord. Because you see, I know this. We've never held a chicken dinner. We never held a chili dinner. We never have gone on the street and begged for money to support the church. You see, the church, and I, for certain, there might be certain occasions maybe that's okay. You know, I don't know. I don't like it. Because the church needs to be the giver. And not the taker. And not the taker. I know there's many good organizations. I'm talking about churches, though. I'm not talking about just organizations out there. Churches should never, I personally think, ever sell tickets. I just don't like that. That wears out your people for no good. I mean, you might raise a little bit of money, but just ask them to give. You know, and I tell you what, God has been so faithful to us. We never went without paying a bill. Never. Never. We were able to buy this building, $65,000, gave her a check. Didn't have to go borrow it from the bank. That's God. Because you see, I learned how to save. Learned how to put money away so that we would have. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, whatever, but, you know, we don't know the future. I know a few things, but God is faithful and he will bring in what needs to be brought in. He will bring the people with the funds to bring and do what needs to be done. That's the kind of God we serve. See, I shouldn't have to worry about paying a bill. What I have to worry about is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to you and making sure you get the word. Make sure you get the word, not some joke. I mean, and that's okay, I guess, okay, I don't know, but I want you to go away with the word of God saying, I believe my God. He's all powerful. He's faithful. He's true. He's King of kings. He's Lord of lords. He's a God of patience. He's a God of consolation. My God, he's holy. And look at the last part. You will see great things if you believe. We will see great things if we believe. God has many things in store, people. You're in the right place to see the hand of God. He has great things in store. Keep believing. Believe. Pray for the church. Pray that God's power, anointing, and wisdom would be upon us. That God would move like he wants to move. You see? Because we do have things out there that will try to stop the move of God. Not that it can stop what God wants. But yet, we need to pray so that it has full course in the church with the word of God. I put that prophecy in there for you to believe. Amen. Go home and say, Lord, this came from the throne room of heaven. Amen. And I thank you, Lord. And Lord, we believe for great things for the church of the body of Christ in Gaydon. We're believing for mighty things, Lord. In our own personal lives, in our churches, in our families. My God, the greatest miracle is seeing people saved. That's the greatest thing. Because you can't take money with you, and you can't take possessions with you. But you know what? The spirit of people can go to heaven. You can take that with you. My Lord. So let's believe God for the impossible, okay? And let's not limit him. And thank God for the word that he spoke to us last week. Take that and read it and believe it and stand upon the word. Amen. You may stand, please.